feel are some places.
Very good talk last night. Eagle and the
eagle, the ox, the lion, and the man. Kevin, I can't figure this out. It's that way. I don't know what you do to get it.
I would call Gary. I'll call Kevin. The homeowner told me that Gary had
it's up the other way. I used to go. Oh, that just turns. I see. He's fixing it. Shut up. Oh. Go to Leviticus 23. We're going to take a break from Romans and take a look at Pentecost. Because, as usual, we never do anything right. And Pentecost was a few weeks ago, but we're going to celebrate it this Sunday. Leviticus 23 gives us the feasts of the Lord, or the word feast is moed, just means set time. They're the only set times that exist. And let's go to Leviticus 23, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts, or my set times. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their season. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you become into the land which I give unto you, you shall reap the harvest thereof, and you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf of a he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil. An offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout all your generations in your dwellings. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you shall number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And you shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall offer the bread. You shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish to the first year, and 1 bullock and 2 rams, and they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering unto the Lord. With the 2 lambs they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest, for the priests. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in your dwellings throughout your generations. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of the field where thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather gleanings of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the 7th month, in the 1st day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also on the 10th day of this 7th month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whichever soul it be that shall be and not be afflicted in the same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. It shall be for unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at evening, from even unto evening, until you shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of this 7th month shall be a feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the 1st day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and you shall do no work, servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering, a meat offering, a sacrifice, a drink offering, every thing upon his day. Anyway, on and on. It says over and over and over, they shall be celebrated forever, as long as time lasts. And everything has to do, if you look at them, it was the 6 days, especially on the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Hanukkah, which was instituted later. There's 6 days you work. 7th day is a day of rest. And the 8th day is something mysterious. Now, it's our contention, it's my belief, and I think I can prove it to anyone, that Jesus Christ fulfilled each and every one of these feasts. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit on the 8th day of the Feast of Hanukkah. He was born in the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, which is also the Judgment Day. He was baptized, on the Feast of Yom Kippur. He was crucified on the Feast of Passover, buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. He kept the Sabbath only once, perfectly, in the grave. And on the Feast of Pentecost, his spirit was shed on all flesh. On the Feast of Tabernacles, the 1st year, he changed the water into wine. The 2nd year, he was transfigured. And the 3rd year, he spoke of the rivers of living water that shall be flow through anyone that believeth on him. Now, that is all. That's everything. It's finished. When he said it's finished, it's a cosmic event. It wasn't some little isolated event in a small nation in somewhere in the Middle East. it affected these just as the fall affected the entire universe, so did these feasts affect the entire universe. They affected every man that has ever lived for all the generations. For we know for at least the first 200 or 300 years, Christians everywhere celebrated each of those feasts. They celebrated them not to celebrate some ordinance, but they celebrated them to celebrate the finished work of Christ, so that they would know that their labor was done, that everything in the universe had been finished, that they had been perfected by that one offering. Now, the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Passover are intimately connected because it's the counting of the Omer between the two feasts. And so they're really just one feast. Remember, the counting of the Omer is the 49 days of coming out of the gates of impurity. And the gates of impurity are everything that you think is good. Everything you think is bad was dealt with at Passover. So the whole thing is completed. And that completion on Pentecost is the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah that said, "Who hath heard of such a thing? Shall a nation be born in a day?" Now, they're not talking about a nation as with, it's just simply the word am, and it means an entire new race of people came to existence on the Feast of Passover, on Pentecost. For us, for the human race, without the Feast of Pentecost, we would have been just like everybody else thinks it is. We're waiting for something else to happen. But on that feast, the human race was inexorably changed, because the human race then became the sperma of God, and the germ of life, the divine impulse, was in every man on the face of the earth. It has nothing to do with accepting Jesus as your personal Savior and making a decision for Christ. It has to do exclusively with this new race of people that have nothing to do with anything about you. There's no reference to you. There's no, as we've talked about so often, there's no reference to your past experience. There's no reference to your past knowledge. There's no reference to your talents. There's no reference to anything except this new race. And that new race is what was described last night in that whirlwind. And it came into existence in one day on the Feast of Pentecost. The heavenly Matrona, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, came down and met the earthly Jerusalem. And it was everything about the human race was finished at that point. Because now his own right arm, his own Zeruah, his own seed has gotten him the victory. Now, the most interesting thing to me about this is this whole idea of he is now seated at the right hand of God. He's seated on the mercy seat in the New Jerusalem. And where he is, there you are. That temple took 46 years to finish. The Herodian temple that was extant at the time of Christ. But it was a sham temple because it did not have within it the Holy of Holies, the Shekinah glory, the Ark of the Covenant, the tables of stone, Aaron's rod, or the manna. And that's why when Christ was crucified, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom so that everybody could see openly that this thing they had been doing and trying to continue just doing some kind of, you know, ceremonial rites was a sham. Now, who could believe that?
That's just a picture of us.
No, that's right. It's now a picture of you. That's why the gospel is only to the poor. The poor are those that have found out that for them life was vain and empty and futile and meaningless. But what have we done? At least it's been done corporately, at least since Constantine in 325. When he used this mystery of God for political purposes and named Christianity the state religion. And ever since then, it's only the handful, it's only the few that have ever seen. But in every generation, There's at least, if you believe the scriptures, there is at least 7,000 whose garment isn't spotted by the flesh. But the mystery of it is he sat down. Now, in this temple, there was no place to sit except on the porch. There was no chair. There were no chairs. Because the work was never ending. They had to go through and all the wood that was used for the sacrifice. They had to examine the wood to make sure there were no worms in it or mold. They had examined to make sure there was no moss on the wood. They had examined each and every sacrifice to make sure that the inward parts had no fat on them. They had to make sure that the follicles of hair had not, that there was only one hair for each follicle, for each. The work was never done. There were 146,000 priests at the time of Christ. And they never had a day of rest. No. You've got the false religion going on in you now as the temple of God. You've got the Babylonish religion. But now, today, this Pentecost at least, it's the time for that Babylonish religion to cease. Because he sat down. That means, to sit down in this context, it means that his work was over. And if his work was over, your work is over. And if you continue to go on and on thinking you've got all these things to do, then you cannot participate in the mystery of God. It has nothing to do with whether you're saved or not, but you're not. You're blowing it because your mind keeps telling you you've got to do this and you've got to do that, and everything else in the world tells you. Everything in the universe is trying to pull you away from that mercy seat where you're seated with him. All your families, your kids, your relatives, everything in the universe is trying to pull you away from that mercy seat. That's the only reason everything in the universe exists. It's that antagonism to see if anything can pull you off the mercy seat. And so this Pentecost, let this be the celebration where you're apprehended by that mystery. So you stop being deceived over and over so you can truly sit down and be at rest. For 2,000 years, he has waited in the night of that last day for his people to sit down. But you see, it says every one of these feasts are to be celebrated in perpetuity, forever. He completed it so that you don't have to. And his life is your life, so you partake of that completion that he accomplished. And your mind is the instead of Christ. Your mind wants you in control, and you've got to be, and you've got to take all these stands, and you're not going to do this again, you're not going to do that again. Well, if you believed anything that was said last night, you see that you never have any idea what's going to happen next. You just move. You just be. And the description of that wheel within a wheel, and the face of the ox and the eagle and the lion and the man, all are fulfilled in you. And you as part of this mystery of all people who are in the same place. Walk in that light as he is in the light. Then and then only have you fellowship one with another. The minute you walk out of that light, and no matter how hard you try, you're forever alone. You can never, ever, ever, ever. Because it's only in that light that there's oneness. This is why it's so critical to have baptism with understanding. That by being baptized, you're confessing to God that you're not worthy to be in the kingdom of God. And your only hope is that Jesus Christ is in you. That divine spark, that divine life, and all of the stuff that's happened to you, its only purpose has been the chaff to reveal that one germ of perfection. But in order for that to take place, you have to agree with the scriptures that the human race died on the cross. And there's been somebody masquerading as you all these years, whose only function was to keep you alone and separate. Now, can you anticipate that nobody can wait for their Pentecost, because Pentecost has already happened. Waiting for your emptying so you can experience it and know it. Amen? I don't have anything else to say. Anybody have any response? What? You're doing it again, Gary.
I'm about to tell you about it, too. The weird thing about the mind fighting this place of rest and peace is that it thinks that place would not be as exciting or be boring or what people feel. It just tries to deceive you about what the glory of that place, make you think that the glory of the world is.
You won't be fulfilled in the flesh. I mean, that's.
Yeah, everything that you've tried to do and everything that sustained you was simply the snake in you eating that dust. Mm-hmm. You're satisfied with the dust. Your sustenance is the dust. Mm-hmm. Now, just spew out that dust and begin to eat the mystery. And let that be your sustenance, and let him be your worth. Everything else is just pure and unadulterated vanity, futility, emptiness. Oh, but you don't understand, Ole. I've got this and this. No, I understand. Wade?
Yes, it said no servile work over and over. And that was, I can hear that. Except I don't know if I hear it because I'm planning to work instead of go to Pentecost. So,
Kevin, what are you going to write in your little summary thingy? The end has come. Anybody else? Anybody believe it?
Yeah, this reminds me. Puts me in my memory of the Lord of the Flies story. I mean, that's what we do. Left to our own devices, we look and we try to figure out what's going on, and we come up with little magic. It's magical incantation, magical behavior, chance, relationships. It's all just, it's witchcraft. It's just magic. That's what we do, and that's what goes on in here. So what we're talking about here is, instead of that vain repetition of cunningly devised fables, the Shekinah glory fills the temple, you fall on your faces of dead, there's silence in the temple for about a half an hour, and that's it. But I can I can taste and touch absolutely palpable my participation in the Lord of the Flies.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but that's all right.
Well, you know, it's a bunch of kids that are shipwrecked, and they revert to...
Well, you don't have to explain it.
Cannibalistic behavior, and they pick a kid to make the scapegoat, and they kill the kid, and they create a religion based on superstition. It's... what we do.
All right, just in summary. On Passover, the veil was rent, the sun was darkened, the graves were opened, and the resurrection happened. For Christ, it was finished. Then there was the ascension. And on Pentecost, there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind, but there was no wind. There were what appeared to be fire, but it wasn't fire. The Spirit of God is shed on all flesh. And the New Jerusalem came down and met the earthly Jerusalem. Finished everything. Now we are seated with him on the mercy seat. Let every word you speak be as the oracle of God. You can only speak. Has nothing to do with the words you say. It's that you speak only from that mercy seat. And so your speech is seasoned with salt. Everything you say has the component of eternity in it. You make no reference to time. All things are of God. You're in the Holy of Holies. Everything is perfect. And Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, in you. Period. And what happened, the reason that there was the appearance of fire over the 120 people in the temple was because time was ripped. And that, when that time being ripped, then those flaming swords of those two cherubim, all you could see, and it had the appearance of fire that are protecting the way from any flesh or anything spotted by the flesh. And can you imagine the noise when time was ripped in the temple? They went to the temple, and there was a price on their heads. And so they had to be, they were still criminals from the government standpoint, all of those 120 people. They'd been hiding out at Mark's house. His dad, you remember this big estate thingy. And so you can imagine Peter talking to him. Now you've got to make sure you don't speak, because most of you are Galileans and you have this stupid accent because you never can speak. They were always kidded. Nothing good can come from Galilee. So you got to dress the same way everybody else does. Be real insignificant. And we'll sort of gather together down there near the column of Boaz. And their anonymity was destroyed by the sound of rush and the tongues of fire setting over each one of them.
Flaming neon arrows.
So all of, and again, every one of you have, up till this point, I know every single one of you have tried to be anonymous in certain circumstances. If it's with your right family, or you're trying to pick up a girl, or you're trying to make... No. After Pentecost, there is no more anonymity. There's only boldness. Because you know that you know that you know. Anybody else have any response? Does this make sense, Mr. Bojo? Too bad Mrs. Skippy isn't here. Huh? Or Mr. Skippy.
Or any of the little Skippies. Or their little dog, too.
Michael, does it make any sense?
Yeah.
Everything else goes... That's why we're named Trinity, because... That mystery vaporizes everything just like a nuclear weapon. Take it, big guy.